let me in. Shiba, shiba. I want to be closer to you. Shiba, shiba. Open up your soul. Shiba, shiba. Let me find that part of you, the part that nobody ever knew.
Let me touch your. Hello and welcome to Let Me Touch Your Mind, the show where we try to get you to be something, do something, experience something, enjoy something. And there is so much to be enjoyed right now. I have my America's favorite clown in the studio right now. I'd like to welcome Toby Moore. How you doing?
Hi, Marilyn.
How's it going?
It's going great, actually.
I know, because I saw the review.
Yeah.
So, Toby, tell us about this show that is taking the Bay Area by storm.
Well, I think it – well, first of all, thank you for saying that. I think it kind of is. And I it's called The Mechanics. Mm-hmm. It is a four-person, multiple-character comedy show mm-hmm. that has a heart and soul to it. So mm-hmm. it's high physical comedy. It's kind of like looking at a living cartoon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's really fun. But imagine like Looney Tunes with real soul and heart. Like there's a story under it and there's a message under it.
Okay.
And so the message of the show is how we fix each other, the mechanics of life. How do we find and restore each other's sense of enchantment? So, well, I think we need it. This is a time in America where we need this very, very badly. So my hope is that this very successful run, we're running for the next 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and my hope is that we continue to have great audiences and then we can move the show. I would love to be able to tour with it. So, yeah.
Well, tell me a little bit about like who wrote The Mechanics and you know how it all came into being.
Oh, well, I wrote it. And I've been writing this show, this particular idea, for about 20 years. I was living I've been back and forth between San Francisco and New York for the last 26 years. And so this is my home. I am a San Franciscan down to my bones. Mm-hmm. But when I go back to my port of origin, which is New Jersey, there's a lot of amusement parks and piers. We have mm-hmm. the Jersey Shore is like a huge running Santa Cruz.
Okay.
And so that's where this was inspired. That's what inspired this. I always had this idea that rides and amusement parks are kind of like markers, like crop circles.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, like, for me, when you get on a good ride, a thrill
uh-huh.
ride,
uh-huh.
or even a nice, simple little ride, like the teacups, you're transported. And it sort of groks into your sense of childlike wonder.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that whole, world, the world of amusements and entertainment. And Dave and Buster's is one of my favorite places on earth. And so The Mechanics is about this enchanted amusement pier. And it can be anywhere. It could be California or uh-huh. New Jersey or uh-huh. anywhere. And these lovely little mechanics, these two people who just by fixing the rides, they find portals to other dimensions. So there's a science fiction element mm-hmm, to mm-hmm. it too. But that's what we're doing. We're doing human cartoon, magical realism, science fiction, clown theater.
Okay, that's all right there, what I love. there's an episode of Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt where her mom, like, she loves going on roller coasters and Kimmy's like, why? And she's like, because it's the only place where you can scream and nobody looks at you funny.
It's also one of the only places that exactly, and it's mm-hmm. that's you get to have total abandon, which mm-hmm. happens at a circus too when you respond to a circus or people doing superhuman things. But there's something called airtime, which happens on the really good roller coasters where you're lifted into zero gravity for Ooh. A couple of seconds.
Uh-huh.
You know, and that to me is that's our essence. That's where we from whence we came. You know, that primordial like lightness of being.
Uh-huh.
You know,
but I gotta say when it's going up the roller coaster, I am questioning all of my decisions as we start to
I'm with you.
Like, plumb. It's like what was I thinking? Why did I think this would be a good idea?
But that's the thing too, it's the death-defying thing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 99.99999% of the time, thrill rides are safe. Once in a while, they're just like with everything else in life, there are mm-hmm. accidents. But for the most part, it's the only kind of thing you can do which feels like, oh my God, I'm going to die. And then you don't.
Mm-hmm.
You are actually made to feel thrilling. You know, you're thrilled. You're happy. You're joyful. You're ecstatic in the air like that for just a few moments.
Okay. So you mentioned that there were like a four-person show. So who are the other three people?
Well, I have two geniuses in the cast. I mean, well, three geniuses. Mm-hmm. I do. I mean, DeMarcello Funes, who's our baby, he's the young clown. He's my clown partner. He's
a star.
Is he
the one that I've seen you with before?
Yes. Okay. We did the Night of Ideas together. He's an absolutely beautiful human being, and he's an incredible clown. Mm-hmm. And then I have Maureen McVerry and
amazing.
Matthew Martin,
who's amazing.
Who is incredible. And
he holds a room. He can work an audience better than anyone I've ever seen.
Well, wait till you see him in this, because he's playing Irene the Machine, a decrepit fortune teller machine that is found on the Midway, in the magic Midway, and reinvigorated by DeMarcello. And then Maureen plays Tessa Needleman, who's the owner of the amusement pier. So she's a crusty broad who's always trying to light her cigarette.
That sounds like that's right in her.
And the two of them, really, Matthew and Mo, are the anchor of this show. They are they're the pros. They're just incredible. And then DeMarcello and I are kind of like, we're like the childlike idiots.
Okay.
but then not, because we, as the story progresses, DeMarcello discovers that he is indeed, you know, a master mechanic and someone who can take care of anything when he needs to, or anyone. So it's a very beautiful story about the restoration of enchantment. I could go on about this forever.
And you guys got like a really glowing review the other day.
Last night, like, we came out of our 2 o'clock matinee yesterday, and there was an absolute slam dunk of a review from Lily Janiak at the Chronicle. That is, you know, it means the world to me, because I haven't had a review like this in a major American newspaper for this type of work, for what is essentially, you know, a clown show, a human cartoon show. And this is a genre that I've been sort of building on for many years now, like trying to incorporate, you know, real true clowning, which is not the red nose and the unicycle. Mm-hmm. It's the amplified human spirit. So it's the stories of us as human beings going through extraordinary things and told with high physical comedy. So she really got it, and she loved the show, and that means the world to me.
Now, where is the show playing?
It's at Z Below, which is underneath Z Space. In the Mission. It's the old Theater Artaux, Project Artaux.
Oh, like on 16th?
Yeah, it's on Florida Street.
Yeah. I know exactly where it is.
So it's a beautiful old warehouse building, and we are in the bunker underneath. Uh-huh. So, which is good, because this is a very bunker-like show. It's
So you said you've been writing this show for 26 years or something. So have you done any iteration of the show in the past?
We did a reading of it at the Barrow Street Theater in New York in 2006.
They
had a different title at that time. And then it kind of grew into a different show. I wrote another show that was adjacent to this.
Was that the Supers?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
And this is actually the third and final part of the trilogy, because the Supers, which we did, of course, you know, back at Z Space in 2020. We did Atomic Comic 2 years ago at Z Space. And now this is the third. You've seen all of them.
Oh, okay,
Marilyn.
Okay.
Yeah. And you saw the original Wonder World, which was our first sort of clown opera that we did back in...
Is there singing in this?
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yes, there is. Yes, there is.
But it's not an opera.
It's not an opera. Okay. But Maureen gets to sing, an old Judy Garland song called You Go to My Head from the Carnegie Hall album. And you get to see Matthew Tap Dance as a fortune teller machine. And then, of course, DeMarcello is the centerpiece of the story, and he's very beautiful. And you just follow this lovely clown, you know, through the universe of the Midway, the magic Midway.
So I know that you and Matthew and McVerry go way back. How did you meet? How did you meet Marcello?
Oh, DeMarcello. I met in Oakland at the Parker School when we were both teaching at that wonderful elementary school, and we taught clown and circus and all of that. And the minute I met him, and this is true of almost anyone that you meet that you know is going to be a great friend, you kind of feel it. I met him, and I just was like, oh, I love him. I think he's just – and we started teaching together, and we have this kind of uncanny chemistry. So that's fun too, to be on stage with someone where you finish each other's thoughts, you finish each other's movements. Like, we have a really strong partnership, and so do Maureen and Matthew. So you have two pairs of people on stage. And then we have a fifth cast member who's our little stage ninja. That's what we call her, Renee Sedliar, who's amazing, and she plays the whack-a-mole. She comes in as the actual whack-a-mole, and she tries to get people to hit her on the head. And then, of course, course, she cries and runs away when she gets hit. So
I got to say, the first time I ever saw Whack-A-Mole, I was an adult and I had a friend and he kind of looked like a brunette Bunsen, you know, like Beaker, like Beaker, what's a honeydew, Beaker. You know, with the wild hair. Uh-huh. And he just started whacking wildly. And I swear I nearly died laughing because it was the funniest thing I had ever seen.
I love Midway games and I just love the Whack-A-Mole is my favorite game because mm-hmm. it's a great way to, you know, get rid of some stress and you're not really, really hitting, you know.
Right, you're just, pound, pound, pound.
I know. Yeah. So, yeah, we pay homage to the Whack-A-Mole in the show, too, which is
very
great.
Very nice, very nice.
Yeah.
So what other Midway games make it into the show?
Well, actually, it isn't so much games as it is attractions.
Okay.
We definitely have a roller coaster. We have our roller coaster, which you will experience just from being under it.
Mm-hmm.
The sound in that theater is really fantastic, and we have a brilliant sound and videoscape created by our director, Colin Johnson, mm-hmm. who this show wouldn't even have happened without him. There's two massive screens. There's all kinds of things going on those screens.
Mm-hmm.
So you see all the different rides, but mostly it's the Moon Ride, which is our roller coaster, which
okay.
you'll hear going over us. Then you have Irene the Machine, who's the fortune teller. We have
uh-huh.
Whack-A-Mole.
Uh-huh.
I'm trying to think. Really, that's kind of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the rest of it is just character stuff. You know,
okay.
It's all really interesting character. The people you meet in the Midway, you know.
So I'm going to go out on a limb and guess that it is family friendly?
Yes. I would say, look, my 12-year-old nephew is flying in from New Jersey to uh-huh. see this in a couple weeks. And so he can handle it. There are some creative F-bombs here and there.
Oh, okay.
But they're very funny.
Okay.
And I think most kids 12 and over have heard these words, but there's nothing else that's like, it is very family friendly.
Okay.
Just not little kids. I don't think little kids.
But like maybe nine?
Why, do you have a 9-year-old nephew?
No, I just was wondering because, you know, people, you know, like a 12-year-old, you're like the cusp of teen. You know, are we saying a 10-year-old because they're already swearing? Or?
I'd say use your best judgment as a parent because I know I love calling this our sophisticated Bay Area families because they are.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we live in the greatest place on earth and the kids here are super smart. And grow up quickly. And so if you think your 9 or 10-year-old could see this and hear some F-bombs, okay.
Okay. All right. So how long have you been a clown?
Oh, my gosh. Probably now, let's see, 40 years, 35, 40 years.
And, like, so, how did it come to be that you were like, clowning, that's for me?
Well, I think some of it was making a living.
Okay.
my career started at Six Flags. I started as a clown and a haunted house ghoul, and I was a body puppet too
uh-huh.
at Six Flags Great Adventure in Springsteen Country in Jackson, New Jersey.
Okay.
And then I fell in love with it.
Fell
in love with it. I just because it was the freedom of being a character that could really lean into anyone and get people to laugh. And I love the close up emotional magic that can happen with clowning, and. I'm branching into medical clowning. I'm starting to work in memory care soon as not really as a clown, but as a whimsical person that can come in and help people remember who they are, which
mm-hmm.
is another theme of this show, is that we grow up and we forget who we are. And so remembering who you are is part of the mechanics of life and how you have to keep fixing that part of yourself. Yeah, so that's why I became a clown, because it keeps me childlike. I'm still basically 12 years old, you
mm-hmm.
know, and I live that way. I live in a little tiny apartment where it looks just like it did when I was like a kid.
Okay.
You know, better posters, better artwork, but you know.
So when people approach you, you know, audience members approach you, can you kind of spot who has like – who's destined for clowndom?
Kind of, yeah, because they're just – it's an openness of spirit, you know. I mean, not to sound too woo-woo, but like truly, it's someone who's awake
mm-hmm.
and wants very badly to, you know, sort of bring enchantment into their sphere, however they do it. I mean, you know, whether it's Drag Queen Story Hour or it's, you know, a person on stage in an opera
mm-hmm.
Or someone like just walking into the middle of a circus, a lone clown coming in and standing in the middle of the ring, and you can't look at anyone else because he has such an openness of spirit. So it's that – that's what draws me to this art and why I love it so much, and that's what this show is all about.
So one more time for our listening audience, when, where, what time for The Mechanics?
The Mechanics is at Z Below, which is at 470 Florida Street mm-hmm. in the Mission. It is running the next two weekends, Thursday, Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m. Okay. It is a 90-minute show. It's like getting on a race car. It's really fun.
Okay.
Just sit there and enjoy the ride. yeah. And so that's – we have, 6 more performances.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm coming to see it on Thursday.
I know. I can't wait. You're going to love it. Marilyn, you're going to love it.
Can we give away a pair of tickets?
Let's give away a pair of tickets.
Yay!
Yeah.
Okay. So People of Earth – oh, wait. And if people want to find out more about this show or about what you guys are doing, what do they do?
They go to www.zspace.org/mechanics.
Excellent.
Sarah, with an X.
Toby Moore, I want to thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for the pair of tickets that we're about to give away. If you would like to win a pair of tickets for any day?
Yeah, any performance.
Any performance that's coming up, give me a call here at 415-346-5376. So just give me a call. That was Rob Reich and How to Be a Weirdo from Rob Reich Swings Left. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. Who's about to touch your mind right now? There's a whole bunch of stuff going on around reggae and music in general. Here to talk about it, I'd like to welcome Stefan Franz. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Beautiful Monday morning.
Yeah, it is. It is. So tell us a little bit about all the things.
All the things.
All the things.
So, yeah, I mean, currently we are producing about...
And we.
So a group of people who are reggae aficionados.
Mm-hmm.
That is Irie Dole, who used to be a DJ here on this station. DJ Guidance.
Uh-huh.
And then DJ Sepp, who we know from her many years doing dub mission at the Elbow Room.
Uh-huh.
20 plus years.
Okay.
So basically these events, Crucial Reggae Sundays, happening at the Band Shell in Golden Gate Park. We are now about 150 free reggae shows since 2021.
Wow, that's incredible.
Yeah, so ranges from DJs to full bands. It's one night of programming that we do. We do Wednesdays singer-songwriters and Fridays jazz and R&B, soul, almost all live music.
Uh-huh.
But Sundays, you know, we decided we were going to mix it up. We feel like reggae culture has enough of a DJ, you know, following mm-hmm. that mm-hmm. it didn't have to be bands all week, every week.
Got it.
So we do about 30 a year. We go from... Yeah, it's a lot. In total, at the band show, we're doing about 125 free shows a year.
Wow, that's a lot, especially because you never know what the weather's going to be like out in the park. I mean, it could be like a beautiful day or like the, you know, Arctic chill.
The Arctic chill. Well, the one thing I'll say about our reggae community in the Bay Area, and I would say the same about hip-hop and most what we'll call niche communities, they're willing to come out. Doesn't matter what the weather is.
Got
they're going to come out and support and, and represent. And I will tell you, we go from early March – where we do a month of all-female fronted reggae programming.
Okay.
To generally the end of November. One of our last nights this year and for the past couple of years is Pato Bonten, who's, you know, obviously a well-known, large, you know, for our space.
Yes.
He's one of the biggest. And, you know, my history in this is about conscious music and positive music. And when you get to kind of send off the year with Pato Bonten, it's kind of like, okay, cool, what's next year? What's the next thing? So it's been an amazing journey because we know that reggae, you know, has been huge in the Bay Area for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And after the pandemic, I think we all felt like there's the scene kind of dropped out a little bit.
That's sort of across the board.
Across
for
the board, for sure. For sure. And I feel like reggae, at least because of the community vibe, has been able to kind of like, we float. We feel good that we could go out there on any given Sunday and there might be 150, 200 people.
So you've got coming up, I mean, we've got the, what's the holiday that's coming up right now on the 1st?
Oh, Labor Day.
Labor Day, yes,
yeah.
Senior moment. So you have a Labor Day. So, like, what have you got scheduled for Labor Day?
Yeah, so we like to mix up, like I said, DJs. So this past weekend we had all of our house DJs. That's DJ Sepp. Irie Dole and Guidance.
Yeah.
This year we have something special on Labor Day weekend, a group from Humboldt County, Mendocino, called Irie Rockers.
Okay.
And they actually feature an artist named Stevie Culture, who's a pretty well-known reggae artist. And they're kind of like a hybrid, not your traditional straightforward Jamaican reggae band.
Okay.
And that's one thing I should say as well, is that we don't fall into the, like, a band requires four people playing bass guitar, drums, keyboards. We have sound system shows where the producer is more like Mad Professor or Scientist mixing multiple tracks.
Okay.
So we have one of those coming up at the end of September. The label is Dub Sty, which is a Brooklyn-based reggae label. And so they're bringing out some artists. They're bringing out their producer. So it's – you don't know what you're in for. You know, we could show you the calendar and some people might say, well, I don't know any of those acts. And others might say, wow, how did you get so-and-so to
come?
Sure.
You get the wide range.
Yes.
So are there any like kid reggae groups?
You know, it's interesting that you say that. We don't focus on kid reggae per se, but it is amazing how many kids find a home while we do DJ shows primarily on the apron of the band show.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have a whole audience of people out in the benches, but on that apron, it's 50 kids dancing to Bob or dancing to Burning Spear. And that is one of the most amazing feelings in the world, is to hear, again, we really focus on family friendly out there.
Mm-hmm.
So hear this conscious music, this revolution music, and these kids just having a dance contest.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, reggae has and always will be like an all ages kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what we really tried to do at the band show in total, because the museums – and because of the tourists that end up kind of coming into the music concourse, the idea that you still do great, interesting, dynamic, free-speaking music, but that you realize where you're, what room you're in. It's not a club. It's not Kingston. It's the middle of Golden Gate Park on a Saturday or a Sunday afternoon. But I would also say to that this city, more than many cities, contributing – to our own recovery, our own whatever we want to call it, spiritual, you know, recovery.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to say that the Renaissance of San Francisco kind of starts in some ways in the band shell, mm-hmm. in that space, because it's a very non-judgmental space. It's like we could be doing punk rock one Saturday.
Sure.
We could have the Golden Gate Park band with their huge 30-piece big band followed by a dance hall artist from Jamaica or from Europe. And so the idea that that really does reflect who San Francisco is, that you just never know over the course of a week or two what you're going to see. And I think that that surprise and delight, whatever you want to call that, it brings a lot of joy, both to tourists uh-huh. who walk out of the De Young and are like, what is that?
And the Academy of Sciences.
Yeah, or the Academy. Uh-huh. And they're like, what is that? And they see this crowd. And sure, they see the expanse of what we know a reggae crowd looks like,
mm-hmm.
all colors, all mm-hmm. ages, flags waving, smoke in the breeze, whatever. And they go, wow, this is a little snapshot of what San Francisco truly is. And so, you know, that's kind of one of the most gratifying pieces of this, is not to like control a scene,
mm-hmm.
but more to say, this is an open scene. This is a place where we all want to come and gather and feel safe and feel expressive and whatever that looks like.
Well, I got to say, whenever I come out of either the Academy of Sciences or the Young and you hear the music echoing, or if you're just walking through, if you hear the music echoing, you're going, What's going on over there? And of course, you go over and you're like, oh, this is pretty cool. And it unfolds always the same way. What's going on over there? Let's go see.
You know what's amazing? And again, you feel it just like a tourist might feel it.
Mm-hmm.
The Golden Gate Park Bandshell has these two amazing things. One is the sound system is amazing. Mm-hmm. So whatever you hear it, wherever you hear it, likely it's drawing you in. The guy who's really been behind a lot of the programming there, I don't mean in booking, but I mean in raising funds, whatever, Illuminate the Arts, Ben Davis, is okay. who's kind of behind it. And he's the guy who really championed Monumental Reckoning, which was Dana King's piece around
yeah.
the point. And then Lift Every Voice.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Lift Every Voice, we like to say that that's like our building's motto
mm-hmm.
right on the face of what we're doing. So even if you hear it and you don't necessarily get what's going on,
mm-hmm.
you look up and you go, Lift Every Voice. Is that what's going on here? And I don't think there's a lot of places in a lot of places. You could say Austin or Boston or Brooklyn. I don't want to put anybody's scene down.
Sure.
But like we have this live thing mm-hmm. that happens. And I see whole families of tourists having no way to know who that band is or what's going
right.
on. And they sit for an hour and maybe they go to the food trucks
mm-hmm.
and they leave here with kind of a different perspective as to what's going on.
Right. And that also speaks to sort of the free nature of it, is that you can wander, you'll hear great music, and you get exposed to something that maybe you wouldn't have heard if you had had to pay an admission to go see
it. Yeah. Yeah. And I would also just flip that around and saying you'll hear bands that came. We have a program on Wednesday nights called Market to Bandshell.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the farmer's market right out, you know, Sunset Mercantile, so mm-hmm. out in Pacheco and 37th.
Oh, okay.
They are developing young bands that are coming up. Maybe it's a rock band that has two or three members. They're
uh-huh.
playing basically for free,
okay.
you know, just to get exposure.
Sure.
And maybe the guy who's running that, his name is Kevin North.
Mm-hmm.
He's been, you know, in the music scene for many years. And he will say, wow, this artist has brought a lot of people, come consistently. Let's put them on the bandshell stage. And so what we're trying to really create is that, like, you never know who you're going to see, but you might see a young 17-year-old bluegrass artist
sure.
who is so immersed that you go, wow, I want to book them at my club, or
mm-hmm.
I want to book them for a party.
Mm-hmm.
And so seeing that whole community, whatever we want to call that, that infinity sign of building a scene to have a scene – to bring bigger artists, to build a scene,
mm-hmm.
is happening at that space.
Well, and speaking to that, it just puts a fine point on you do your best no matter what the venue is, because you don't know who's looking at you at any given time.
Yes.
If you only turn it on when you think there's somebody important watching, somebody important will never be watching.
You know what's amazing? And I'll put this back to you in saying, you uh-huh. know, at the end of the pandemic, first of all, artists were very fearful of going indoors and performing inside.
Yeah.
And audiences weren't really ready to come pack clubs.
Right.
But we saw, even though it might have been 100 people over the course of a whole Wednesday or a Friday,
mm-hmm.
that community started to come back. And it was the free nature of it, the mm-hmm. willingness to just know that between 4:30 and 7:30 on Fridays, there'd be some jazz or some soul or funk, something mm-hmm. to get people up, mm-hmm. melted away the kind of like stigma of I'm going to a show mm-hmm. that a club has. Mm-hmm. And that's no dig because really a scene needs both.
Okay.
But like you said, when you don't know what you're in for and that artist doesn't know who their audience is going to be, they're not comfortable with like their friends out there who are going to rally them. Mm-hmm. You're playing to an audience that's like it could be cold.
Mm-hmm.
How do you bring them in? How do you – you know, that becomes on you as an artist. And again, for me to see that light go on with artists who don't know what they're in for when they open that door and walk out and load in and go, oh my God, you know, the Grateful Dead played here, Carlos Santana, everybody's played at the band show. And then to realize like, no, I'm part of this. I'm part of this paper, this space is amazing to see. They leave with a different feel than they come with.
So you've talked about a number of different genres, including reggae. So how do people find out what's playing when?
Thank you. Yeah, that's a great ask. So there's a couple of different ways to find out about it. I'll start with probably the most up-to-date would be illuminate.org. So
illuminate.org.
Yep, illuminate.org. That's mm-hmm. the nonprofit that produces everything in the background.
Okay.
The San Francisco Recreation and Parks Department keeps a really good running calendar. So you can go to the Rec Park website and you can just look at the band shell as a venue and it'll show you everything that's playing.
Okay.
So we have both those.
Okay.
Then the last element that I tell everybody is Fun Cheap and Secret SF, which are both, you know, very legit mainstream, get the word out. Seem to have a little love affair going with free shows at the band shell. So,
well, we love the word free with anything.
And again, when
free classes, free music.
Exactly.
Free,
something special that
free
people.
Free shrimp.
Free shrimp. You know, if I could have free music and free shrimp, you could keep me there for most of the day. No, I think when people read it and, you know, take this for what it is, free doesn't always connote value.
Right.
You have to win people's attention nowadays, and I think that having it out there in all these places mm-hmm. helps to catch new people.
Got it. So for our listening audience for this coming – for the rest of this week.
Sure.
Just refresh what they can do between now and like when they have to go back to work on Tuesday.
Sure. So for us, we have a ton of different productions going on. Wednesday, singer-songwriter night. There's three different bands playing. All of them are Bay Area based. Mm-hmm. I won't, you know, blur it with all the names because I think it'll just get crazy.
And what time?
4 o'clock to 7 o'clock on Wednesdays.
Okay.
Fridays, it's a guy, his name is Nate Lopez. Mm-hmm. He's a 8-string guitar player, kind of touches blues, jazz.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Saturday, we have an amazing surf show in association with KFJC.
Same time.
Saturday's a daytime show.
Okay.
Saturday will be a kind of noon to four.
Oh, okay.
So that's one thing I would say is Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays are all kind of the four – Sundays 4:20 to 7:30.
Okay.
But then Saturdays are daytimes, and we do a lot of programming during the day. So this is a surf event. It is a band called the Mermen, who are a very well-known surf band.
Uh-huh.
Play all over the Bay Area mm-hmm. and all over the country. And then Sunday, Irie Rockers from Humboldt County.
Okay.
So they'll, you know, be down here and performing at Crucial.
Okay.
And then I believe on Monday for Labor Day, Golden Gate Park Band is playing. That's not one of our shows, but they always do special shows on 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day.
That's great. And then once again, for people who want to take a look at who's playing when, what are the websites?
Yeah, so illuminate.org,
mm-hmm.
San Francisco Recreation and Parks Department website. Or Fun Cheap or Secret SF or any of your favorite free, you know, outlets. I'm sure you can find what's going on.
Excellent. Well, Stefan Franz, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. And, you know, we do a couple of other programming activations.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be remiss if I didn't at least mention them. We do 2 days of free music at Fulton Plaza, which is between the Asian Art Museum and the Public Library.
Oh, yay. Okay.
So we do 12 to 3 on Tuesdays, like a lunchtime concert.
Okay.
And then a little bit later in the day, 3 to 6 on Thursdays.
Okay.
So basically, if there's not a farmer's market at that area, we're trying to do music a couple days a week there. And then also on JFK, on the promenade, we do at the Beer Garden, the Whale's Tail, 2 days a week, Saturdays and Sundays, 4 bands a day. So lots of free music everywhere. But Illuminate will have all of that.
All right. Well, thank you. I'm glad you brought that up because I'm usually down Tuesdays from noon to 3. I'm usually in that area. So
we
now
always,
I know to listen for
from
it.
Now until, I think, Halloween, we're doing that series. So any Tuesday that you want to pop by, come say hi.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
People of Earth, this is your opportunity to go enjoy some free music at the Golden Gate Park, in the area down at Civic Center, all the places. So you're gonna like it.
Now this one is dedicated to the people all over. Remember the words of your crucial entertainer. When I say I do not sip the coke, I only smoke the Centimila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Centimila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Centimila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Centimila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Centimila. Without a doubt, I am the boss, and in my class, I am the teacher. If music is a fruit of life, then I will be a reaper. If MC business was a school, then I would be headmaster. If a car, I'd be the driver. If a bike, I'd be the rider. If MC business was a church, Pato would be the vicar. And instead of calling me MC, you all would call me preacher. But fun and joke aside, I won't get serious in this matter and dedicate this style to each and every cocaine dealer. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
Now I go sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
In February 1985, Pato became a winner because I did that tune called Hello Tosh. In February 1985, Pato became a winner because I did that tune called Hello Tosh. It shooted up the charts and nearly gave my mama a failure. She looked at me and said, "Son, me glad me grow you proper. I sound like you had been a pride and joy of any mother. Now make the fame get to your head, just think about your future." Daughters of encouragement just made me push on further to break down any walls and also break through any barrier. I got a lot of guidance from GT, who is my manager. Assistance from Dan Christie Fashion helped me cross the border. I also got a lot of aid from Good Sensimila. That's why I do not snort the coke, I only burn the ganja. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Centimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Centimila.
Centimila.
Pass the coach in the bus. One day I had to catch a train from Birmingham to London. Halfway on my journey was approached by this white ruffian with greasy hair and scruffy jeans. He looked just like a villain. He sat down opposite me with attendance in his right hand. But I don't judge appearance, I just check the way you galang. So I introduced myself to him as Mr. Pato Banton. "Nice to meet you, my name's Rowdy, and I work with PA Hire. I've heard your name someplace before, but I just can't remember. But anyway, I'm very, very, very glad to meet ya. And I've got some dope, it's Frosca's Coke, you can have this for a fiver." I looked down on the table and saw a piece of silver paper. Inside the silver paper was some powder that looked like flour. Me ask him, "What it do for you?" "It give you strength and power." Now everyone I wanted to hear the way that Rowdy answered. "When Mr. Pato Banton, the sensation is fine. It makes me see green men and I go to cloud nine. All my worries and problems are left miles behind. So no matter where I am, I have a brilliant time. If you don't believe me, hold on and I'll fix you a line. Just take one sniff of this and you'll be out of your mind." But I took the coke and threw it right outside the carriage window. Before he could say a word, I quickly built up a five-sheeter into my pocket for my Sensi and my lighter. I lit it with a flash and then to Rowdy passed it over. I could see that he was loving it because of his expression. Me tell him, "This is Sensi, the healing of the nation. In some place doctors use it for herbal medication. Ronald Reagan smoked it just before him go up on television. After Margaret Thatcher visit him, she brings some back to England, then distributes it equally throughout the House of Commons. But fun and joke aside, it gives me deep, deep meditation. It fills my heart with niceness and I get enough inspiration.
You could be any color, any creed or any nation. After smoking Sensimila, I know you'll find a reason why I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Sensimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke
Sensimila.
Nah, I go sniff no coke, I only smoke
Sensimila.
I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensimila. I do not sip the coke, I only smoke Sensimila.
That's Pato Bantan and Don't Sniff Coke. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. And you know, it is that time. We've got the librarians here. I've got a couple of them here, so I'm going to have them introduce themselves. So let's start with my remote person. Why don't you go ahead and introduce yourself?
All right. Thank you for having me. My name is Steve Bencarici, and I am a learning and instruction librarian at the Bridge at Main, at the main branch of the San Francisco Public Library.
Very cool. And then my other librarianista?
Thank you. My name is Ren Heiber, and I'm the branch manager at Glen Park Library, one of our branches.
Very cool. So I'm going to start with you. I'm gesturing because I can use gestures. Tell us a little bit more about that department.
Oh, sure. So Glen Park is a beautiful library right near BART, Muni, a nice little village. Mm-hmm. And it's a second floor library. If you've not seen it, a lot of people walk by it and don't realize it's there. You should definitely come visit us on Diamond Street in Glen Park.
Very cool. Very cool. And you, sir?
I work at the Bridge at Main, which is the learning and literacy department of the San Francisco Public Library. And we focus on both print and digital literacy. Mm-hmm. And provide lots of tutoring services. For instance, we have a program called Project Read, which is for adults who are looking to improve or learn how to read, where people are paired one-on-one with tutors. We have a similar program for kids called Fog Readers, which is open to children in mm-hmm. grades 1-4.
Mm-hmm.
We also have an ESL program with one-on-one tutoring for people who are learning English. Or need help with their improving their English language skills. And I coordinate our online high school program for adults, which is a free free high school diploma program for adults. Anyone over older than 19 who lives, works, and receives services in San Francisco is eligible mm-hmm. to apply.
Oh, okay, okay. So how long has the Bridge been in existence?
The Bridge,
How long have you been a member of the Bridge?
I've only been there since December. I think the Bridge has been around for a number of years, though, and some of those programs that I mentioned even predate the existence of the Bridge itself.
Okay, okay, okay. And then I'm going to switch gears. Let's talk about the types of programs that go on at the Glen Park branch.
Oh, sure. The Glen Park branch has a wide variety of programs, from story times to music to educational programs. And today I'm really excited to talk about something that's happening there, as well as several other libraries mm-hmm. in September.
Mm-hmm.
Every Saturday in September, we're teaming up with Muni, SFMTA, to offer an opportunity for families to meet at one library, get to meet operators, learn how to use public transit safely and how to get planned trips between locations.
Okay.
And then travel as a group together to another library where they'll get to make a souvenir, celebrate their experience, and enjoy Muni with each other. That's going to be it every Saturday in September.
Okay.
And Saturday. Oh, yes, please.
Do you know how you and Muni forged this alliance?
I connected with a member of their team a couple of years ago. We had a student who came in and said, I love buses and I want to connect with other youth who love buses.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have a club at the library? And I said, we don't have one. But then I reached out to a person's name is Lawrence Feston at SFMTA, who uh-huh. was working with their youth advisory board. And he said, we don't have a club either, but we should consider doing something together. And so we came up with this idea of connecting two libraries, traveling between. So love of libraries, love of public transit, and just an opportunity to provide a safe space for people to learn how to travel well.
It never occurred to me that there'd be like a club of kids that profess their love of buses.
We hosted a program like this last year. The last year we called it Muni Discovery Days. This year we're calling it What Ride and Read. And I went to a few of them, and the enthusiasm from these youth were just amazing. I mean, they could name every bus style. They could tell you all sorts of things about it. I mean, they could tell the difference just based on the mirrors on the side of the bus, what they're looking at.
So it's like train or airplane aficionados.
Yes. Yep. Absolutely.
Okay.
But then we also had youth who had never taken public transit before in their lives. And this was a really nice opportunity for them to do that in a supported environment without their grown-ups around. So it was really nice.
I love that. So, Stephen, you're going to have a tough time trying to top that one. So go ahead. Try and top it. Try. Just try.
Oh, my gosh. Well, that is so fun. I love public transportation, so that is such a wonderful program. I'm excited to hear about that myself. Yeah, I think another thing I had left out about the bridge is we also provide a lot of tech literacy classes for people of all ages. So if you're like brand new to computers or even need help like just getting used to using a smartphone for the first time, we provide, and even up to more advanced things like 3D printing, and we've even had coding classes in the past. So that's another service we have at the Bridge. So if anyone is looking to improve their tech skills, we are a great resource for that. Yeah, so that's another great thing we do. And I would also encourage people, if they're interested in volunteering, we're always looking for tutors for our adult and children's literacy programs, as well as our ESL program.
Okay.
And people can find out about the volunteer opportunities at sfpl.org/volunteer.
Okay. Now, what kind of, AI, everybody's talking about AI. So do you have people coming into the library asking you guys about AI, or do you have people that you work with who can discuss AI, or?
Yeah, absolutely. People do come in with questions about AI, you know, and with all levels of knowledge and interest in it. We have definitely had some programs in the last few months about AI, both sort of practical in the way it can be utilized, and also more just sort of as a sort of intellectual, like, what does this mean? What does it mean for our future? What does it mean for the future of technology? We had some programs like that at our annual Tech Week that we have in May. So we have been doing that. We don't have any ongoing classes or anything like that in AI, but it is something that we do hear a lot about and are developing more things around.
Very cool, very cool. And my question, just in general, have the two of you met each other?
I don't think that we have met each other in person yet, but I love the Bridge, and I love everything they offer. We've got Fog tutors at our library as well, and it's so amazing to see the connection between these adults and these and even these teenagers and these younger youth who are learning to read and developing their skills.
Very cool, very cool. So, Stephen, is there a program that you would like our listening audience to know about that you feel could use some more promotion? Like maybe it's not – like people aren't as aware that it exists.
Yeah, I mean, we are always, especially right now, looking for – I mean, like I said, always looking for tutors. In particular, we really would love to have more tutors for our ESL program. So people who are willing to meet once a week for an hour or two with an English language learner. We provide training and things and that stuff. But we always need volunteers for that. And like I said, you can find more about that at sfpl.org/volunteer.
Okay.
And also, I always would love to have more people in our online high school program. Like I said, that is open to anyone who lives, works, or receives services in San Francisco, who's over the age of 19. It is a fully accredited high school diploma program, and it's completely free. So if anyone is looking to get their high school diploma, we would love to get them on board.
Excellent, excellent. And, Ren, I throw it to you. Are there any programs at the Glen Park branch that you feel are sort of underrepresented, or you want people to to have a higher profile.
We're lucky. We have a community that comes out to a lot of our programs. They're mm-hmm. wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we are very excited about this partnership with SFMTA in mm-hmm. September. Mm-hmm. Saturday, September 6th, we're going to meet at Richmond Branch at 2 o'clock. You'll meet Muni operators and safety officers, and then you'll travel together to Glen Park Branch, where you'll arrive around 4 o'clock to get to make your own souvenir. Mm-hmm. The following Saturday, they'll travel between Ingleside Branch and Park Branch, September 20th between North Beach and Marina, and then September 27th between Portola and Visitation Valley branches. Really neat opportunity to explore various libraries that you maybe haven't had a chance to see before and get to meet operators.
Very cool. Okay. You're listening to 89.5 FM KPOO San Francisco. You know how I love me some librarians. I got two in the house. So I want to throw the mic back to Stephen and just ask for people who don't have a library card, what is the process for getting it? Do you need to live in San Francisco to qualify for the library card?
You don't have to live in San Francisco. As long as you have a California photo ID, you can get a library card. You can't access 100% of the things you could if you're a San Francisco resident, mm-hmm. but almost everything. So you can come by any of our branches and bring your current photo ID. Mm-hmm. And if it's not current, and Ren, please correct me if I'm wrong, you just need to have an ID and your proof of address.
Okay.
You've got it.
Okay. And then I've had a library card for like decades, and there are all of these things that you get that people I don't think actually know about, like the e-learning. Can either of you talk about the e-learning programs that are available online? I know, Stephen, you've covered some of the stuff, but there's other things like LinkedIn Learning and all of this stuff. Do either of you want to talk about that?
Sure. Yeah, we have. You can gain access with your library card to LinkedIn Learning, like you mentioned, which is wonderful and has video courses on everything from, you know, pretty basic tech things like how to use an iPhone to like really advanced things like coding. There's also business classes you can take on there. Mm-hmm. In addition to that, you can access things like Mango Language or Rosetta Stone apps that, you know, these are all apps that would cost a significant amount of money per month, but are free with the library card. Those are great language learning apps. We have streaming services for music, streaming services for movies, really so many things. We have live online job coaching through a program Ooh. Called BrainFuse Job Now, also live online homework help through BrainFuse Help Now. So there's, and that's just sort of the tip of the iceberg as far as the e-learning and different e-resources you can access with your library card.
Okay. And Ren, do you want to pipe in there?
I mean, I would also add on, I think we've got some really nice test preparation online learning for students, for people that even DMV practice tests, mm-hmm. which can be very helpful. I don't know the last time you took the test, but it is really hard. We also have just some excellent offerings in terms of what a lot of people don't realize is you do need that library card to get on to those online programs. Mm-hmm. But the in-person programs in the library, people often don't realize that you don't even need to show a library card to come in and use the space, to come in and participate in those activities. Mm-hmm. We really want to welcome everyone in the community into all of our spaces the best that we can.
Excellent. Well, is there anything that we've left out, gentlemen? Stephen?
I think that covers it pretty well for me. I really appreciate this opportunity to share about the programs we have at the Bridge and the library in general. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. And Ren?
No, I just always appreciate the opportunity to share with you and our community, and just welcoming new faces is what's important to us. We love seeing you in your libraries, and we love being here for you.
Excellent. Now, people of Earth, you need to understand that so many things are under attack right now. Libraries, they are part of the list of things that people are, people want to make go away for whatever self aggrandizing reason they do. So we in San Francisco, we love our libraries. We want to protect our libraries. So, and they say that the internet will give you a million answers. The librarian will give you the right one. So support your libraries. And to both of you, I want to thank you both for being on the show today.
Yeah, thank you.
And thank you so much. We appreciate being here.
Okay, people of Earth, it's time for me to turn the microphone over to Mr. Ford, who'll be pleasuring your ear hole. But before I do, I'm going to leave you with this thing from What It Is, Funky Soul, and Rare Grooves. This, my friends, is called Flute Thing.